Good evening, everyone. This is Annie Chapetta. This is the Behind Our Eyes book launch with Keisha Mason, and the date is December 4th, 2025. Keisha Mason was born in Denver, Colorado in 1985, and she's the oldest of five children. She enjoys reading, music, and good food. She has a curious nature and is always eager to learn new concepts. And in her book called Short Stories, four characters grapple with enigmas in this collection of short stories as they face challenges with family, themselves, their future, and the world at large. Welcome, Keisha and Dinah, and you can take it from here.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Sorry.
No problem. Diana, are you with us?
Am here. Sorry, I
All
was
right.
waiting. I thought Keisha was going to get started, so I apologize.
Look, sorry, I.
Keisha, do you want to read something first? Kind of
Yes,
get
would love.
yourself situated, and
Oh,
maybe that will help.
read first. Okay. Thank you.
And then you guys can talk about what you've read.
Okay. All right. Well, it's interesting that when I this is the what I'm going to read is from the first story, Double Trouble, and the audio narrator that narrated the Audible book. She really did a great job with this, but this is the exact passage that she read for like auditioning or whatever you call it. Okay. So here it is here.
Thank you.
Sorry. Mom, I don't like frosted flakes. They're too sweet. That's right, Nate. Mommy forgot. Refresh my memory. I'll just get something at school. Why are you acting so weird, Mom? I am perfectly normal and acting reasonable, she screamed, hurling the bowl of cereal into the sink, splattering its contents across counters as it landed. Okay.
Thank you, Keisha. Anybody here ready to read the rest of that short story? I know you can't hear us. That was a little bit just left for open-ended thoughts. I'd love to hear a little bit more, Keisha, about your book and how it came about. So would you share first, like, what gave you the idea for these stories? Because your book is a collection of short stories. What gave you that idea to come up with a book of short stories?
Well, actually, I hadn't originally intended on having all of the short stories in a book, but I was given, somebody suggested it that I put some stories that I wrote together. And I was originally, I had a publisher that I was going to send one or two of the stories to, and they said, well, this, it needs to be a little bit longer. So do you have any more that you can add? And I said, yes, I'll, and they said, well, why not, put some short stories in there and you can make book from the stories. So that's what I did really. And turned out that it became a book.
Nice. And do you have a favorite of those short stories that are in here?
Well, my favorite is Letter to Self.
Okay.
It's because it's I most identify with the main character in that story.
Nice. Is this the first book you've written?
Yes, this is the first book. It's been
And
an
how did you
interesting learning experience.
Oh, sorry, again?
It said it's been an interesting learning experience.
Why don't you share a little bit about what you've learned while putting this compilation of short stories into a book?
I've learned one of the things I learned that there are different means of publishing, and there isn't just one way, and is to be able to choose which which is best can sometimes be a process. So I mean that's one thing I've learned, and there's a lot that more that went into it than what I originally thought it would be, So
And can you share a little bit more about that process, how yours was a little different than typical publishing process?
well, I mean, I don't know about typical, but see, I mean, a lot of the like, if someone decides to self-publish a book, and I'm sure everybody on here knows that about that process, but I decided to go with a, I don't know what you call that specific kind of publisher, it's sort of I don't know if it's I can't remember the name. I mean Haas and Jenkins, I'm not sure, I can't remember what type of publisher, but they're actually different kinds, and I'm really impressed with what they did and how they did and everything. And I mean some people will say, don't use that, don't do that. But I'm really, they actually followed through on everything they said that they agreed to. And I mean, I would recommend if anybody else, needed that kind of publishing, wanted to use that, I'd recommend them. Now, and yeah, so.
Okay. I think if anybody's wanting to afterwards, they could reach out to Keisha and get some more information on her process there. But let's move to the next question. Do you plan to write any more books in the future?
Yes, I would like to write, I'm in the process, but I'd like to have a book, and it's sort of about a magical library. But I'm not gonna give away any more because people that.
Of course, we can't give away the secrets now, then they won't need to read it. Can you share what you hope readers take away from reading the book?
I hope that readers get from it contentment, being content with life, and also trust and remembering the past and perseverance.
Okay. And can you share a little bit without giving away the endings of your short stories, can you share a little bit about how much they mean to you and why? Because you shared that they all have a little purpose, each short story.
Yes. The stories were each inspired by, well, the question, what if, everybody asks that question. Now, the first and the Double Trouble and The Secret of Herb and Melby were inspired by an idea that I had that I can't If, for instance, it was a future, it's like a future world, future type world where things are common that maybe today they might not be as common, but who knows? Maybe technological advances will, maybe they will be one day. But if you could, for instance, have sort of a be in maybe two or three places at once. It's like, and I thought, well, what if people could be in two places at once? People can't, they say you can't be in two places at once, but what if you could? And it's like, and also the that was like for the idea for the first story. And then The Secret of Herb Melby, I use paratransit services, and I don't know if people might not know what that is, but any kind of transportation at times is not always reliable. But if you had a means that you wouldn't need to worry about transportation, so that was the idea for that story. And of course, Letter to Self was kind of based on my own experience when I was a teenager and younger and everything like that. And the last story, which I think that was kind of interesting, was actually inspired by a song that I heard once by Sammy Kaye and his orchestra. And at that, and I was kind of really interested in like World War II and that era and things like that. So,
Oh, well, you've shared a lot. Thank you, Keisha. And are you ready to share your last reading here?
oh, sure, I can. The last reading is actually, I'm sorry, is actually. From that last story that I mentioned, and was based on the song that I heard. I squinted into the bright glare of sunlight reflected in the kitchen window, unwelcome to my eyes at this early hour. I began preparing my tea, noticing a sh shadow passing the mail slot in the front door. Setting the water to boil, I quickly stepped to the door and pulled envelopes from the mail slot. The top one on the stack must have just been delivered. It was from Jack, my son. I excitedly tore it open and read. That's it.
Well, yes. For those of you who would wonder what's in that letter, you're going to have to grab Keisha's book and take a look at the last short story in the compilation.
Yeah, and if you want a hint to that, that song, I'd recommend that song by Sammy Kaye's orchestra called "Dear Mom." So, sorry.
No, very nice. Thank you. At this time, we'd love to open it up with any questions from the audience here.
All righty. Well, thank you, Keisha and Dinah. This is Annie. So if we have a pretty intimate group here, so. No hands, would just say your name and
Hello.
then ask your question.
Hi, Annie. This is Marlene.
Hey, Marlene.
Keisha, I've read your book. And from Audible, and I highly recommend it. And it's kind of appropriate for this month because on the genre list in our writers group, we are having sci-fi fantasy month, and that just fits right in there with the sci-fi. And I love the explanation you gave about the TTV device, how it worked. And I like Keisha's narrative style, because it flows very nicely and she gets you into the story and you really want to continue reading to find out what in the world is going on and what happens. There's surprises, a twist ending, and each story is different and unique. She's put her own original spin on some tropes that people have used in the past, and she's got a great, vivid imagination. I highly recommend her book to people who like this genre, and I am so happy that you're going to write more because Magical Library sounds wonderful because it's usually the people or objects in it, but the library itself being magical, I think that sounds original. And I just wish your book was longer and you had more stories in it, but I highly recommend it to everybody because she's a very, very good writer. Thank you.
Thank you so
Thanks,
much.
Marlene.
Thank you for that. Really appreciate it. Hi, this is Alice, and congratulations again, Keisha, on the publication of your first book. And I agree with everything Marlene said so eloquently. And I have a question for you. How did you find this particular publisher? And was it the first one that you went to, or how did that come about?
Well, actually, no, the first publisher that I found was, I think it was called Covenant. And they actually, when I submitted my, I guess you call manuscript to them, they suggested that, maybe I should make it a little bit differently and put more stories in. And so I did. And I couldn't go with them because, I mean, they were kind of a lot like the price range, So I started looking online, and then I got a call, or actually an email, because I sent out a, I don't know if it was a query letter, but it was like an email to different places. And one of them emailed me back and said that they were interested in publishing my book. So I followed up and sent the manuscript, and came up with a suitable arrangement. And I was able to do that in Haws and Jenkins. I was able to do that with them, and so yeah, it took a little bit of searching, I guess.
Well, thank you for that, Keisha. And I read your book several weeks ago before you had another appearance and about your book. And I really think that the narrator whom you chose for the Audible book just did such a wonderful job reading your book. You do excellent readings of your own work, but having another person, such as that particular narrator, she just did such a wonderful job. But I can say also, because it is a small book, if anyone knows someone who likes this particular genre, it would make a great stocking stuffer for Christmas.
Oh yeah, it would. Yeah. And yeah, I was really impressed with the narrator that did the audio version. That was she did
Yeah, she did
awesome.
super job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Keisha Zanny, I have a couple of questions.
Sure.
So you had mentioned earlier that you identified mostly with the character in Letter to Self. Are there any other characters that you really enjoyed creating and bringing to life?
Yes, Roxanne for one, in the Secret of Herb and Melvie, and I also, I don't know, I kind of like that name Melvie. Sorry, kind of like that, but yeah, and I had an instructor that read the book, and he said that Roxanne was his favorite character, and
Did he say why?
No, he didn't tell me why, but I would imagine it maybe it was because that she had the secret, I guess, sort of. Maybe. But yeah.
Yeah. Do you ever see yourself writing in different genres besides these particular, I mean, like if you would you attempt, for instance, like a children's book or short story or anything like that?
Yes, perhaps eventually I would maybe do a children's book, or want perhaps maybe a biography at some point. I don't know. I would have to kind of
Audio now
prepare a
muted
lot
or
for that, but yeah, definitely.
yeah.
I have a question. This is Lisa.
Sure, Lisa, go
So
ahead.
how long did it take you to write this book?
I would say over a period of probably maybe a year or so, because I wrote the stories at different points, really.
Yeah.
So yeah, about maybe a year or give or take.
This is Kate. Could you describe the cover of your book?
Well, sure. As best I can understand it, it is the cover. Of course, it has the title and has picture of like pages coming out of a typewriter, and like an old-fashioned typewriter, and it has my picture on the front. In the inside, I believe, and the pages are like flying up in the air, sort of.
Cool.
Yeah,
Yeah,
the
cool.
image is actually screen shared. So if anybody has any vision, you could see it.
Did you come up with that idea, or did the publisher help find it?
Actually, one of my coworkers that I work with suggested that I do something like maybe a typewriter on it, because I had been asking for around for ideas of what a cover would look like, and that's what she suggested.
Interesting. Yeah.
Thank
So
you.
this is Annie again. So why short stories? Why not a longer novel? And will you ever pursue writing a longer novel?
Yes, I'd like to eventually. The reason that I did short stories was because, quite honestly, I came into writing kind of later, but I mean, I've always like written stories like privately, sort of, but I wasn't sure how it would be taken by the public, and things like that. So I wanted to try it first and see how the reception would be. So that's why I started with short stories.
Sounds reasonable. Yeah, test it out a little bit, get your practice in. Right?
This is Lisa again. I have another question.
Sure.
Do you have a favorite author, or what authors do you like to read?
Well, I am to do gravitate toward like sci-fi, fantasy, historical fiction. So I really like one of my favorite authors is Connie Willis. And I really like her, and I really like the author of a lot of the children's book, the Magic Treehouse series.
Yeah.
Can't recall her name at the moment. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Well, that's okay. I don't know who she is either. But I've certainly heard of the series.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. And what type of stuff does Connie Willis write, Keisha?
She writes science fiction and well, more science fiction and historical fiction, I believe. The Doomsday Book by Connie Willis is
Oh, I've heard of that.
recommending that one. Really
Yeah, I
good.
bet you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on.
So how do you get your ideas? You mentioned a little bit about with Double Trouble, like what if you could be in two places at once, right? So, the what if question, what if fill in the blank? That's a something that a lot of writers and creators use to help them generate ideas. Do you use the what if fill in the blank idea? Or if you don't, how you do it, and do you keep sketches, a document of ideas? Like how do you what are the inner workings of your creativity, and how do you keep track of things and ideas and stuff like that?
Well, I don't know the term for it, but one of those that does like outlines and before I actually write the story. I know that some people don't do it like that, and I really admire those who can just sit down and write pages on spur of the moment or anything like that. But
So
I
you're a
will.
planner, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Oh,
Yes.
good for you.
Yeah.
Really?
It kind of keeps me on track, and
Sure.
my ideas a lot, some of them come from my personal feelings about life and sometimes experiences or things that maybe I've heard that happened to someone else that maybe change, I would imagine, something else or a different solution or it was something like that.
What do you use to do your research? Do you use your computer mostly? Do you
Yeah, I use my computer. I use Google. I sometimes I talk to people, libraries, things like that, and yeah, like a lot of the historical fiction. I haven't actually published, but I have written some other historical fiction pieces and things, but which does require a lot more, research. That I talk to people that have experienced or witnessed or something like that.
Have you had, this is Lisa again, have you had teachers or friends that have, helped you get started with writing or encouraged you?
Yes, I had a teacher. Well, she was like a facilitator of a job class, and she actually encouraged me to start, writing and sharing my writing. And I had teachers in the past, like in school, who really inspired me to write stories and yeah.
Keisha, it's Sally. Are you working on any more stories now or anything else?
Yes, I'm working on different short stories. I don't know when they'd be ready for to publish, but Hopefully soon I have something.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Can't wait to read your newer stuff. Do you belong to any critique groups or anything like that?
Yes, in fact, some people here are in a critique group that I'm in, and really I really appreciate that. That's important, is critiques.
Do you belong to any other groups besides Behind Our Eyes? Excuse me.
I was at one time a part of a writer's group, but I'm not sure what happened with it. I don't think they've been meeting for a while. But really, this is the main one.
Well, we're glad you're
Keisha.
here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, who's next? Yeah.
Keisha, it's Sally again. Do you have, my mind just went blank. I'm sorry. Somebody else has something, so I just lost my train of thought. Sorry about that. Oh, no, I know what it is. Now that you have something published and you're working on other things, what advice would you give to somebody who is just starting out and really wants to write, but isn't sure how to go about it?
Oh, well, I would say that, even if you think that your writing's not good enough or something, you really should try it to have it published, because you never know what, who it might inspire someone, it might touch someone else, and make sure you kind of shop around and everything, but don't be afraid to do it. Is what I would say, because I really never thought that I could, I mean that I would get published, but
Here you are.
right.
Yes, definitely.
This is Marlene. Are you a character driven or plot driven, would you say, or both?
Character driven or plot driven?
Do you get the idea first, or do you think of the people that you're going to have in your story?
I get the idea usually first.
Ah, yeah, me too. I'm plot driven.
Yeah, I heard romance is a lot character driven.
But they like you have to have both. But and I like your advice, and I'm so glad that you said you really should try. And if it interests you and it excites you, chances are it is good, and stick with it and keep going. And I'm so glad you've gotten published.
Thank you. That's
This is Alice. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I perhaps I'm the only one here who doesn't know Dinah, but can you introduce Dinah to us, Keisha, and tell us a little bit about your fine interviewer?
Oh yes, and I want to thank Diana too for her willingness to do this, and we actually have a mutual acquaintance who is a therapist, and she knew both of us. I asked her if maybe she might know someone that might be willing to interview me, and she gave me her contact info, and she was willing. Now, Dinah is a director, and correct me if I'm wrong, Diana, but director for
Yeah, so I'm a
disability
director of
organization,
community engagement.
community engagement. Okay.
And I work at an agency that supports people with all disabilities, birth through life, in Colorado, so in the Denver metro area. And I previously worked with this acquaintance that we have in common. And so she had been a colleague of mine and reached out to me and thought I would be a good connection here with Keisha. And Keisha and I hit it off when we had a conversation about her book and had a pretty long conversation. So we thought it'd be it worked good to have me asking her questions about her book. And I
Well,
enjoyed her short stories too. So I was trying not to give my input, and rather I could focus on Keisha during the interview instead of my thoughts or the parts I like. So
you did a really good job. Thank you.
yes, you
Thank
did.
you.
Great job. Well, Dinah, so what were the parts that you really liked now that we've
Yeah,
mentioned
so
that?
yeah, then I unmuted. So the what I really enjoyed about Keisha's writing was her ability to describe things that put you in that place. So I mean, even from the very first short story, I could close my eyes and picture what was happening with these little kids and a mom and the morning, how they were feeling rushed and just the frustration that was coming out. And I won't say any more from that,
Okay, yeah.
but for me, it was the description she used to get you drawn in. That's what I enjoyed the most about each of the four stories.
Yeah, I agree with you there for
Well,
sure.
the way this was structured, where you just read a little bit of the two stories, was very enticing. So it was a good
Yes.
idea. Yeah. And Keisha
Keisha.
picked two good I just lost the term. It's the end of a long day. Sorry. Sorry, Keisha, but you picked two really good sections to read, I thought too.
Thank you.
And sorry, Keisha, this is Annie. Do you have any other plans to promote your book, or what? Like,
Yes, I have used social media quite a bit for promotion efforts, and also I've just been telling people about it. I have copies that print copies that I can show people, and I'm also having some bookmarks about the book. Have that. I believe the audio book has promotions that are promotion codes. And I'm not really sure exactly how to use those, but from what I understand, I think, yeah, those are used for that.
Yeah, the Audible promotional codes.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure they're totally accessible.
Oh, okay.
You might have to have I get cited help to copy the code and be able to use it, 'cause it they're like I don't want to get into the weeds here, but I could talk to you about it when we're done. They're not easy to get to on the Audible dashboard. I wish they would make it easier.
And I've also been trying to get the book available on the NLS service. I have talked to libraries, but for some reason there's sort of a hesitation with libraries about having independently published books for some reason. I don't know why that is.
Yes. Well, this is Annie. This could totally be my opinion. Whatever, but there was a bias, with a long-standing bias of libraries choosing not to go with independently published books because early on, a lot of them were not publishable. What they considered published quality published pieces, and they just they just preferred to have traditionally published books because they knew they were at least formatted correctly and readable. And I think that bias has attached itself to independently published authors ever since, and we've been trying to shake off that bias because we know that independently published books are just as good, and there's always going to be I mean, I've read some traditionally published books that probably shouldn't have been written. So there's that bias
Absolutely.
there. So I think it's getting better, but that's why. And a lot of libraries also, they won't buy from Amazon. And they will only buy books from like Ingram Spark and those types of ISBN books on demand people. They have their certain contracts that they'll deal with and certain ones that they choose. So
This is Linda, and I was a librarian for 30 years, so I think I can give you a little more detail on it. The books that libraries purchase need to be prepared for the library shelf, and there's only a few agencies that will do that. Barnes and Noble or Spark, I believe, can do it, but mostly Barnes and Noble
Yes.
is where libraries purchase books, and then they come fully prepared to put on the shelf. And so you can't buy from someplace like Amazon and expect that. And that means there's an additional cost of the staff to prepare that book and catalog it. And in addition to that, the other reason why libraries don't purchase independent books is because they work out of we purchase a lot of books. So the volume is usually quite large in a library. And so we depend on certain reviewers, and that those reviewers we narrow down to a couple of different ways. The National Library Association reviews some books. There's various sources that you read constantly if you are a librarian and pick from those reviews, but those reviews are from very narrow sources. However, when I published my book, I immediately gave a copy to my regional library at that time. And if you're in a state that has a county library and you give your book to that county, they will probably accept it. They will probably catalog it, even though it costs them money to do that, and prepare it to get on the shelf in a format for people. And that does give it a wider audience. But I'm glad to hear that you're going to go with Bard or getting it on other formats for people to read, because the more people who read it, the more you get to be known, and you get more followers.
So, Linda, this is Annie. Why don't librarians tell us this when we ask questions like, why can't I get my book?
I don't know. I
Because
can't
if
imagine
I,
why not.
like, I know, I, so anyway,
I mean, to me, it's pretty reasonable because I worked as a librarian for so many years, and I just, if people said, "Well, I published this book and it's on Amazon," I would say, "Well, it's going to cost us too much money to do that. We're going to have to do all of the prep work," which, usually, you have a whole department in a library usually that
But
can.
acquisitions, right?
Acquisitions, but also they call it technical processing. And so, if you have a hardcover book, for example, it's got to have a cover that's durable, and it has to have durable binding to be able to withstand being in a library. And I didn't publish mine with a hardcover. I published mine in paperback, and of course, as an ebook and an Audible book. But, so I know that even the copies I gave to the libraries will probably, if they're read, they will probably fall apart in a matter of time.
And there's also digital books, right? Most libraries you can, and I know that now that my books are on draft to digital, and draft to digital is all can share with digital book libraries. You can get your books shared that way as well.
And I did that too, and it's a really good way to get your books out there.
Yeah, don't give up, Keisha. Your local library will have a local author bookshelf, and and they will say thank you very much. And if you donate your books to them, they love you even more. So,
And that's one of the ways I promoted my book too, was I went to my county library, and they very often have authors' nights. They have times that they set up, and they will take, that's, that's a fun thing to do, to be presenting
Yeah.
in a library.
It is fun. Thanks, Linda.
Yeah, and I believe there was also a press release created.
Yeah, sure. Then you shared that on your social media and did all and did that.
Yes, yeah, I did.
And so maybe you can do it again after the first of the year. You know, new year, new ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Oh, any other questions?
No, this is Natalie. I just
Hi,
wanna
Natalie.
hello. Just wanna congrats Keisha and Dinah here too. And I really enjoyed these conversations and listening to you. And your mention of like a song that inspired you that I would love to listen to it and hear your books more.
Thank you so much, Natalie.
You're welcome.
Okay, well, perhaps then I will just say congratulations again, Keisha, and I will talk about our group now. So
Sorry.
that's fine. So when people become new members of Behind Our Eyes, we have a group called Pilots to welcome new members, and they sort of talk about the organization and all the things that we do. We have a main email list, a genre list, and a marketing list. We have several critique groups. Twice a month, we have Sunday night programs. Sometimes they're critiques, sometimes they're speakers. There are different activities that take place, even workshops sometimes. We have Friday write-ins every week where people come and sort of state their wish to finish or work on a particular project. And then after an hour, they come back and they say what progress they've made to help become more accountable. We have once a month submission parties where people do the same kind of thing, or they say where they want to submit. Then they go and submit and come back and tell everyone, what progress they've made. We have writers exchange classes where members of the group create classes for free. We've had a class on Stephen King. We've had classes on language use and punctuation, grammar. That's the word I'm looking for. We've had a children's writing class. I know I'm forgetting some, but I'm just giving you a sort of highlight. We have created three anthologies, and we're working to create a fourth one. We also have a magazine that comes out twice a year called Magnets and Ladders. And we have a once a month readers workshop where people read like very short stories and poetry. And it's a very welcoming group, and we talk about the way the stories and poetry have been read. Instead of we don't critique the story itself or the poem itself in those gatherings. So I hopefully I didn't forget anything. We're always creating new programs and
Can I add something, Lisa?
sure.
This is Annie. So we have the book launch awards coming up. So all the book launches that were in 2025, we're going to put an announcement out to remind people to you know reacquaint yourself with those book launches and vote for your favorite one. So watch for that to come out on the list. And Keisha, your book will be, you know, included in that because you're because of just you're you got in just under the deadline. So it should be fun. And past book launch awardees, you know, have been Deanna Quietwater Noriega and Deborah K. Thompson. So it's a new initiative, but we have a lot of fun, and it's something to put on your email signature or on your website or whatever. You can use that your when if you win the award, you get to, you know, you get to shout out about it. And I think that's all I have. Oh, yes, and author, celebrated author Barbara Hinsky will be with us on Sunday, December 7th, to talk about writing for the holidays and how she's been able to write such wonderful books about the holidays and celebrating her family, things like that. That'll be at 8 p.m. On Sunday, December 7th. So I hope you all join us there, and the invitation will be coming out, and I'll make sure it has the meeting ID and password on it, because Zoom has been changing things again. So that's it. That's all I have. Keisha, do you have any, or Dinah, do you have anything else you'd like to say before we end the meeting?
I just would like to thank once more to thank David Dvorkin for his help in the Audible cover for Audible.
All right. Yeah. All right. Well, if there aren't any more questions or comments, we will close for the evening. I want to thank everybody for coming. Yes, go
Thank
ahead.
you.
I'm sorry, just one final thing for the book to get more information if people want to purchase can I give that link?
Yes, and also your email address if people want to contact you. Sorry, I forgot about that.
Oh, okay, no problem. My email is keisha.mason@gmail.com. And that's KISHIA dot Mason, MASON, gmail.com. And the website where you can find out how to interested in purchasing the book is https://HawesJenkins, that's HAWESJENKINS.com/books/book=short% 20 capital stories.
Okay. And it's also on Audible, you said as well. Just your you can look it up on Audible by your name, right?
Yes, on Audible, Kindle, Google Books, and Amazon, and Barnes and Noble.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Keisha. Thank you for coming. You did a great job. And
Thank
keep
you.
writing. I can't wait to read some new stuff from you.
Great.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. All right, everybody,
Thank you.
happy
Yeah.
holidays.
Happy holidays. Happy
Okay,
holidays. Thank you.
bye.
Sure.
I
Thank you.